Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. This is our second one, I believe, Jay Posner. That's Jay Posner, sports editor of the San Diego Union Tribune. I am Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer at Peoria Stadium. Jay, I hope you don't mind. I decided to hang back. It's a split squad today. Got Manny Machado DH'ing for the Padres here against the Mariners. So I got lazy and I stayed home.
I'm a little concerned. I believe this is our fourth podcast of the spring. We had a preview.
Oh, my gosh.
We had one right when... right when Manny signed, then we had another one, and now we have this one. So I'm starting to worry already. But
I don't know what day of the week it is.
It's a long spring, and I don't blame you for staying home. It's funny. I looked at those lineups, and I thought it was kind of interesting. I didn't see a lot of, to put it kindly or not so kindly, a lot of stiffs. You know, I think in years past when the Padres would split the squad, you would look at it and go, oh, geez, the poor people that have to go watch the game in Glendale or Mesa or wherever it is. Today it didn't look too bad. They split it up pretty evenly, and it looked like whichever game you were going to go to, you were going to have an interesting story. I mean, I know they had, Tatis and Machado are staying in Peoria. Logan Allen's pitching against the White Sox. I mean, there's a lot of stories that I'm sure you'll be keeping track of later. And you've already got a story up on the website today with lots of interesting information, especially about the outfield, which took a turn, unfortunate turn for the Padres this week with the news about Travis Jankowski. And we learned today, I guess, how long he's going to be out, right?
Yeah, it's a scaphoid fracture, and that's in his left wrist. It's probably the worst-case scenario, other than in his right wrist, which is the power wrist for a left-handed hitter. But in terms of the scaphoid fracture, probably displaced, which means 3 months at least that he's out. So it's a big deal. He's going to have surgery, and it is a big deal. Look, Travis Jankowski might have been arguably the most secure guy to be on the opening day roster. I mean, any other guys could be traded. Manuel Margot could conceivably be beat out by Francy Cordero. Well, Travis is a utility outfielder who was going to be a defensive replacement, could be a late-game on-base replacement. You know, you need a run in extra innings or in the ninth inning. This is your guy. So it is a blow.
I agree. Well, and plus, he's a left-handed bat, which I know they don't have a lot of out there, other than Josh Naylor, who's probably not ready yet, and Franchi, which so this would seem to benefit Franchi, who's also good defensively and can bat left-handed, and obviously, I mean, we've seen from Franchi last year. I mean, I saw they ran this the other day on one of the telecasts. They played his home run from Arizona last year, which was still just remarkable how far he hit that, how hard he hit the ball and how far he hit the ball. So there's obviously a lot of talent there for Franchi to draw from. But what do you think now in terms of the outfield? It's still a jumble. Every time I see Reyes, like yesterday, I think he got a couple more hits. And I think, gosh, can they really afford not to have this guy on the roster? But if he's on the roster, what does that mean for somebody else? Where do you think things stand right now as we're, closing in on 3 weeks before opening day?
Well, it probably is, even though I've tried to talk myself out of it and I've asked a lot of questions, it probably is as simple as this. There were six guys for five spots, and now there's five guys for five spots. That's probably as simple as it is. Hunter Renfro, Will Myers, Franmil Reyes, Manuel Margot and Francy Cordero are probably your outfielders to start the season, barring a trade of one of those right-handed hitters, Franmil, Hunter, or Will Myers, the corner outfielder. Mm-hmm. It's complicated because Will Myers is going to play virtually every day, right? With the contract,
yeah,
and the investment in him.
Absolutely.
And by the way, he led the team in WAR last year, even though he only played 83 games. He's a pretty darn good player. We've been over that. But like you said, what are you doing right field? Hunter, you could go back and forth. Which guy do you think is more valuable? Which guy do you think has more upside? And conceivably, you'd love to be able to find out which one, and you might just have to say, well, this is the guy we're going to go with. But I think it's probably those five guys. Now, Franchi is an incredible athlete. I mean, a freak. Anybody could see that. He probably got robbed on the distance of that home run, the second longest home run in the majors last year. I mean, it was just incredible. Plus, he is developing as a player, and his play plate discipline. And but you know what? He's not the the well-rounded outfielder that, say, Manuel is, that Jankowski is, that Hunter, I think, is emerging to be. That Franmil will never be because he's really a defensive end that was born in the Dominican Republic, so he played baseball. You know, there's a lot of potential out there. I think it's those five guys. I do think that there's a lot still to be determined.
Right, because, I mean, you've got five guys on the roster, but then you really have four guys for two spots most of the time.
There you go.
Unless you're going to give Hosmer more days off and put Myers at first, but I don't see that that's an option that they want to really try, especially early in the year. I mean, you need to...
Unfortunately, but we are getting, evidently this is the exact halfway point of spring training. Someone figured that out today. I'm not very happy with that person. I just kind of want to just keep going and need to know time. With 3.5 weeks, I guess, left till the start of the season, we are running out of time for things to take care of themselves. But as was unfortunately demonstrated by Travis Jankowski's injury, things do have a way of working themselves out. So, but I do know that they fielded calls, will likely continue to field calls. And I can't say that doesn't mean they're not also making calls about moving one of their outfielders, as you alluded to very astutely. Francy Cordero, of those five, would be the only left-handed bat left. And so, if you don't start Franmil, then is he really a defensive replacement for you? No, not that you absolutely need one all the time, but you start getting into these kind of things that Andy Green, and AJ Preller think about. So anyway, that's probably what is that? Has that become the biggest story left in camp besides the rotation? And we can go either way there. We can talk about Nick Margavicius next, the lefty, or. The other big story, which probably really isn't that big a story, and that is Fernando Tatis and do the Padres bring him up at the start of the season? I think it's been obvious for a long time, and nothing's changed, that they're going to start him in AAA at least until the 16th day of the season.
And I do think that's a big story, though, especially from the standpoint of fans that are, that are eager to see him. Everybody wants to know when he's going to be here. I don't know. I don't think it's outrageous to think that Tatis spends the first couple months in the minors. I mean, he has only played, 100 games or so in AA. Maybe he's not quite ready yet. I mean, and it's not like the Padres are, how much are they sacrificing by not having him up, especially if he's not ready? I mean, obviously, if he's ready, you're sacrificing a lot. But I don't know that he needs to be pushed. You have Machado at third, you have Hosmer at first, you have Ian Kinsler to play second, and I thought Urias yesterday made a tremendous play to show that he can play shortstop in the big leagues. I mean, he went deep in the hole, made a great throw, and looked like, okay, this is a guy who can play shortstop. Can he play shortstop for 10 years at the big league level? I don't know about that, but he's more than a capable fill-in, if you even want to call him that. And I think it does seem like, with all the circumstances, that we're going to see Tatis start the year in El Paso. How long he stays there probably depends on how he performs down there, what happens up here. As you said, things take care of themselves. You know, if there's an injury or something like that, you never know. He may have to come up a little sooner. But I just don't think that it's, some sort of – this is not a Chris Bryant situation. Where the
he's not hitting 500. He doesn't have 10 bombs.
Right, or what the Blue Jays are doing with Vladimir Guerrero, that kind of thing. I'm not convinced that Tatis has to be in the big leagues to start the season. He's going to be here big soon enough, and he's 20 years old, and like we said, he spent one season above at Double A, and didn't even complete the season there. So, that's my thoughts on that.
I think they're legitimate thoughts. They never shied from bringing the guy up. Look at Joey Lucchese. Completely different circumstances in some cases. Joey was 24 and is not ever expected to make $400 million in a contract like right. Tatis would if he were, if he lived up to billing, right? I'll tell you this, AJ Preller showed last year when he delayed and delayed and delayed Luis Urias in a season when they were fine with players developing in the majors. Mm-hmm. His preference, AJ Preller's, is if you are a top prospect, someone they expect to be a part of the core of a championship team, when you come up, he wants you to stay up and he wants you to hit the ground running. So I just think everything points to Fernando Tatis Jr. Starting the season down there. And you may be correct that it might be longer than 2 weeks. That probably depends on all the factors you mentioned, as well as his own performance the rest of spring and as he starts out in Triple A.
Now, before
go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we get to the pitching, speaking of Triple A, where do things stand in terms of catcher? Do you think that Mejia starts with Tatis at El Paso? And Chris Stewart is the backup here, or where? What do you? Or because you've also got Austin Allen to worry about. Where do things stand with the catching right now?
I don't think that there's any question. And again, I always say that with trepidation, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That it's going to be Hedges given the opportunity to be the 130-game guy, and Chris Stewart is the backup. Now, Francisco Mejia is making strides defensively. Even a guy like me can see that when he catches, and that's primarily in receiving the ball where his biggest strides had to be. And he can hit. So,
right.
They got to find something to be able to do. They can't go beyond this season with both of those guys. I just don't see how that's possible. You're just wasting one of them. They're not backups. Those are major league, provided Austin Hedges continues on the trajectory that he has set by the last half of last year. These are two starters. So, but starting the season, I believe it was Hedges and Stewart. That's not really there's room. There is at the start of the season for a third catcher, but I don't see the benefit of it. Why having Mejia up here when you want him to work on defense?
Sure.
We have made that very, very clear. As for what it means to Austin Allen, if you want Mejia down there catching and the weather ain't, it's not stifling in El Paso at the start of the season, that probably means Austin Allen gets a little more time in Double A. But I haven't been able to flesh that out, Jay, but it's obviously what you got to look at. Look, you go down, and I see this Campusano kid, another one of their top prospects, and what a stud this kid is. So there's a lot of depth and another one of those, I guess, good problems to have, I guess. But that is a huge question. But you know what? The waves, as AJ Preller calls them, keep coming at all these positions.
Right, and I do think Hedges, I saw his quote that you had in the story on the batting orders today where he said, I don't think I'm a number eight hitter. But I guess it depends on which Hedges are we looking at. I mean, the Hedges the last 3 months of last year, I would agree, not a number eight hitter. The Hedges we saw up until then, you could probably argue, was a number eight hitter. Who was too often forced to bat higher in the lineup because there weren't better guys ahead of him. And I think this year he might find himself down, I would expect, in the 7 or 8 spot most of the time anyway, just because of the other – if everybody else produces the way they expect him to produce, but we know that's not going to happen. So anyway, before we go on for too long, let's go on to the pitching, and we have Mark Gavichas, whose name I think we missed last week, but we got the correct spelling, got the correct correct pronunciation this week. I still haven't gotten the spelling, I'll work on that. I always remember my covering the Chargers for the first time way back in the day. I had Benershka and Mojenko as the kicker and the punter. So you've only got one with Mark Gavichas, but he looked good again. I mean, I don't know what it still seems unreasonable to think that he's going to be in the rotation at the start of the season.
Here's
but
why.
So far,
Here's
he looks
why.
All right.
The only reason at this point that he will not be this year's Joey Lucchese is that it's not last year. Last year was a developmental year. They were completely fine with that. Now, this kid is going to have to keep doing every single time what he has done the last two times against the Cubs and then against the Giants. And that is throwing strikes and baffling hitters. You know what? They might go with him then. But it's against him only because this is not last year. This is a year in which they're not going to, you know, lose it at the beginning of the season. And there's plenty of time and there's plenty of depth. I don't know how good this pitching staff is going to be, but there's a lot of good pitchers. They don't need to rush this guy. And they're not anymore at a place where they're going to let a guy like that come up and you know, call up Brett Kennedy just because they can. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
that's,
right.
That's not how it's going to go now. But I'm telling you, this kid, I don't even know. I would have to use every cliche right now. I haven't sat down to start writing my Nick Margavis's story, which hopefully will be cliche-free. But you know, the ice in the veins and all that, as Darren Balsley says all the time, no pulse. And I always trust that he means the guy's still alive, but he's just really, you know, dead set out there on the mound. And that is who this guy is. Very much like Joey Lucchesi was, if not more. And a great backstory to him, wasn't recruited, ended up playing D1 baseball. He's been every bit as controlled and filthy as Chris Paddock. And I'm not saying that he's got the upside of Chris Paddock, but for a kid who, you know, pitched one game in the playoffs at Double A last year, Nick Margavis has been one of my favorite stories of the spring so far.
So who are we looking at right now? We've got Lucchesi, a left-hander. We have Lauer, a left-hander.
I believe those are locks.
Okay, we have possibly Margavichus, a left-hander. We have Matt Strom, who we both really like.
I believe that's a lock, provided he can continue to build up.
Right.
It seems that he will. So you've got three lefties.
Three lefties now. Who are the righty options? Jacob Nix?
I think Jacob Nix has looked absolutely fantastic, and so do they, and I think that that's a really good place to go. And so right now we're going to operate under the assumption that that they're going with five actual starters, and then they'll just see. So
and then the other right-hander is the one that, you know, again, do they make the leap with Chris Paddock?
I
guess it remains to be seen, right?
I believe that they will, though, keeping him down 2 weeks and maybe just having him make one start or whatever it is. So you're also controlling his innings that way and then delaying by 2 weeks, which is really just two starts. Because they do have an off day in there. You call him up on the 16th day and he doesn't get his full year of service. And, you know, everybody wins, I guess. That could be what they do.
Everybody wins except for the player, but that's the system. So it's not much they can do about
it. Luis Perdomo. Do not rule out Luis Perdomo at this point. And you know what? Don't rule out just as likely that fifth spot is like Perdomo, and they decide that they're going to go Perdomo, Erlen, and you know, Stock, and see how they get through a game. But that could be something too. They're not gonna hesitate to pull Chris Paddock when he's given up when he's got a shutout in the fifth inning if they feel like he's laboring, and that could be a part of their you know, limiting him, monitoring his workload this year. So it's really going to be interesting how they do it. But I'm telling you, don't sleep. And Perdomo's pitching today, so maybe I look like an idiot by the time this thing goes is actually posted. But he has looked really strong.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy I just completely forgot about and probably shouldn't, because it's always interesting when you see him pitch, because he looks like a guy who's just got sort of like this electric stuff. But he's never you're just never sure where it's going, and he obviously doesn't know where it's going sometimes either, and he just gets hit a little bit more than you would think that he would. But he's a guy you don't want to give up on just quite yet, especially if he's going to keep getting results like he has
shortly
so far.
But he could start the season with them. But
yeah.
I'm telling you, and we went to righties, another lefty going today, Logan Allen.
Right.
Looked really good. So, and certainly he came in here with a real shot and has done nothing but, inch closer to being on the opening day roster. He's only 21. They're going to keep down for a couple of weeks. They don't necessarily believe that he has the high ceiling that Chris Paddock does, but they're not going to, limit that. But they keep him down 2 weeks. But we just named what we did is we just named, seven guys?
Yeah, something
don't
like that.
Don't mistake that for
maybe
us
eight.
Thinking that, don't mistake that for us thinking that this is going to be the early 90s Braves. But what it is just a lot of depth of promising arms and tough decisions to make.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of guys who are kind of at the same level except for someone like Paddock, whose ceiling seems to be higher, but he's also got the least amount of experience. They've got the innings thing to worry about. But I just think it's going to be interesting. And the other thing is, you know, these guys are going to be pitching whoever they decide on. There's going to be pressure, but good pressure, knowing that, hey, I've got to produce, because if I don't produce, there's a couple guys who they picked me over who are, you know, one Southwest plane ride away from joining the team, and I'm headed back to El Paso.
And not only that, they all talk about how good. It's funny to hear guys like Logan Allen and Chris Paddock talk about the younger guys, right?
Right.
But they all know that Mackenzie Gore and Ryan Weathers and Michelle Baez, Adrian Morejon are coming. I mean, I was talking with Phil Maton the other day, who looks really good, by the way. But Phil Maton, right? Talk about forgotten guys. And he's saying, like, when he came up his rookie year, and, you know, this is a – he's like one of the poster children for what the Padres were, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could rush this 20th round guy, right, if I'm not mistaken. But they could rush Phil Maton up, and he's throwing 90s, low 90s, and whatever, and talk about how good he was and everything. And Phil Maton's going, yeah, I mean, like, I believe in myself, but I'm going, wait till you see the guys I was playing with down there. These guys know what is coming. And that, honestly, I'm seeing it. And the Padres are seeing it. That's making everybody better, at least for right now, when not a single game matters.
Right. And it's also one of those things where, you know, they might have eight potential number. I'm just throwing that number out. But let's say they have eight potential number one or number two starters. All those guys are not going to work out. You know, all the guys that we mentioned, yep. and you didn't even get to Denelson Lamet or Anderson Espinosa, you know, two other guys who have great potential as well.
Mm-hmm.
They really just need to hit. If you think about it, they need to hit on half of these guys, and
if they hit on half, it's above industry standard.
Right, and if you hit on half, now you've got, wow, look at the rotation we have, and who was that Eric mm-hmm. Lauer guy? Why was he ever here? But you know, it's just an example, or maybe Eric Lauer. Maybe he raises his game, and you know, there's mm-hmm. there's more there. So we'll see.
If Eric Lauer and Joey Lucchesi or one of them is your number five starter, you probably have a really good rotation.
Yeah, I would think that that would be the case. If we're looking at this 2 year, let's say 2 years from now or whatever, and those guys are one or both of those guys are in the rotation at the bottom of it, then that's a pretty good sign. If they're still at the top of it, then something's probably gone really wrong.
I always feel weird when we talk about these guys like we're like we're insulting them. So I want to throw out that Joey has looked amazing.
Yeah.
Unlike anything I saw last year, yesterday. I mean, absolutely, not just at the result, more the way he threw. I have zero doubt at this point that unless Andy plays some sort of game, that Joey Lucchesi would be the opening day starter.
Right. And these guys have the right. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, we're not insulting them in any way. It's just more based on what you read about and hear about their ceilings. But there's no reason that guys like that can't get better. I mean, I think that's what people fall into that trap. You know, we both covered football for so long, fall into that trap where, you know, a rookie quarterback. A guy like Jared Goff comes out and stinks his first year, and everybody goes, oh, my God, look, this guy's terrible. Yeah, same thing with a pitcher. A guy comes out and maybe doesn't, you know, pitch all that great in his first year, but he also might be 21 or 22 or whatever it is. There's no reason that a guy's not going to get better over the next, you know, two, three seasons.
Can you imagine, because I know you're familiar with this, can you imagine if Twitter was around, or I'll take some blame here, the way the media reacts these days, but Twitter were around when Greg Maddux's first couple years in the majors.
Right. I was thinking, how about when Peyton Manning was a rookie quarterback and he led the league?
I don't know the sport you're talking about. What's this other sport?
Led the league in interceptions. Football. It was like, oh my God, he must be, you know, he must be terrible. But you're right. I mean, any of these guys that came up, I mean, you know, to go way back, you read about a guy like Willie Mays. You know, that was like, oh my God, I can't play at this level when he first came up and got off to a bad start and needed his manager to say, don't worry about it, you're fine. I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, Twitter would have killed Willie Mays. This guy sucks.
He would have had like 10 seasons before people stopped talking about how awful he was.
Right. So
all right, hey, I'm gonna go watch a little baseball, a little split squad, which you made an excellent observation. That regardless of how it turns out, on paper, the Padres just split their squad today, and you're like,
I think that would have beat anything they put out there in 2000, you know, whatever, pick a year, 2013.
Yeah, pretty, it's not far off, that's for sure. So, all right, well, enjoy that, and we will do this again probably at the beginning of next week.
That'll be our fifth one of the spring.
That's right, very good, Kevin, very good.
All right,
have a
thanks
good
a
one.
Lot, people.